and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us today. We believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith journey. Before we dive in, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to our partners. Your generous contributions make it possible for us to continue spreading the gospel, serving our community, and carrying out our ministry. If today's episode moves you and you'd like to be a part of our mission, we'd invite you to become a partner. Your support has an everlasting impact and allows us to reach even more souls. Now, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Word as we begin today's episode.
Thank you, Pastor Joel. I like that. If it's an adventure, if nothing else. That's what it ought to be, right? I like people who like to have fun. Are y'all having fun? Amen. Amen. It's not complicated. It's really simple. It really is. Amen. So, everybody just take a big, deep, cleansing breath. That sounds really weird, doesn't it? Kind of new agey. Just take a big, deep breath. Just relax. Amen. Amen. That's a word for somebody. You just need to relax. Quit taking everything so seriously, especially yourself. Take the Lord seriously, but he's a lot of fun too. He really is. Amen. Amen. Just got my antenna up, my spiritual antenna. Want to make sure we do the Lord's thing, not my thing. The Lord spoke to me when we were standing down there. He said, I'm going to shock you tonight. I'm like, cool. All right. Shock me, Jesus. That'll be fun. Amen. That could mean a lot of different things, couldn't it? Amen. Amen. All right, cool. So I've got this skeleton in my closet. Actual skeleton in my closet. And we keep him in there, and we usually pull him out around Halloween. And I nicknamed him Harry. I thought that was funny. But I brought him on stage with me not long ago, Harry has some bad habits. And has anybody ever had any bad habits? Yeah. How many of you brought somebody with you tonight that have a lot of bad habits? Just point at them. Don't do that. That would be awkward. We'd have to do a cleansing breath again, and we just don't have time for all that. But Harry, actually, he had a cigar in his mouth that morning at church. He had a beer in his hand. We had to rubber band it to his hand. And if you ever got along with Harry, he's got a foul mouth. It's terrible. And so I asked my church, I said, can you tell me, what do you think Harry's problem is? Like, how can we help Harry? He came to me, he wants help. He wants to do better. Anybody have that friend? They want to do better, but, you know, they're like, I'm messed up. I have bad habits. I'm struggling. So somebody from the, like, you know, fourth or fifth row, they said, he needs to quit smoking. I'm like, hear that, Harry? You need to quit smoking. How many think that would be a good start? Just put the cigars down. All right. And then somebody said, you know, he probably drinks too much. I'm like, Harry, put that beer down, man. You're in church. Good night. And then finally somebody said, he's dead. I was like, aha, now you've stumbled onto something of utmost importance. How many of those, Harry's real problem wasn't his drinking and his cussing and his smoking. His real problem was, well, he was dead. And so for Harry to get any kind of help, he needs to be made alive, which is exactly what Jesus came to do. He said, I came to give you what? Life, and to give it to you how? More abundantly, in super abundance. How many know, if you get born again, it'll really help your ministry? You know what I mean? If you get born again, it'll really help your marriage. If you get born again, you won't have to worry so much about all those bad habits. They just kind of fall off because you're alive now. You got something in you that you didn't used to have in you, and it's the life of God, and it's eternal life. How many, when you have that in you, oh man, everything changes. That's what I want to talk to you tonight about, is how to get that life either in yourself if you don't have it, and to help other people get it in them, because it is a game changer. All right, so I wrote a book. It came out a few months ago. It's called The Couch, Seven Sessions with the Counselor. And I'm telling you, the counselor, he knows about all your problems, and he has the answers, too. And so the counselor, he's much cheaper than your run-of-the-mill therapist, which usually runs about $150, $280 bucks an hour, depending on what part of the country you're in. But this guy, Jesus paid the bill in advance so you can get all the sessions you need. Here's the cool thing. Before Jesus left, he looked at his disciples, and he says, I'm going to give you another comforter. And he will be with you forever. So basically, he was saying, I'm going to give you a full-time live-in therapist because you people are really jacked up. And I want to make sure you get all the help you need. So I'm just going to leave him here with you full-time. Wouldn't that be nice just to have a full-time therapist? Well, you do. You have one. It's the Holy Spirit. So this book is, I literally saw my church change when we all went through this through our small groups. And I've read it a couple times myself, and a few times I'm like, oh my, that is so good. I can't believe I wrote that. It's that good. But I had some help. The counselor helped me write it. So anybody want this one?
Yeah.
All right, you want that? All right, there you go. Oh man, she just stole your blessing. That's okay. I brought one for everybody. You can pick it up on the way out tonight. So all right, you may be seated. This reminds me of the table at the Mexican restaurant that I go to a lot back home. This is going to be fun. Yeah, you're making me feel at home. All right, would you open your Bibles? We're going to look at a couple of things. We're going to look at some scriptures tonight, and then we're just going to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in addition to that. And Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, and then we're going to look at a handful of scriptures. Now, I am a missionary that pastors a church in Mobile, Alabama. I'm a missionary to India. I was called to India when I was 8 years old. Jesus actually appeared to me in a vision. That sounds really heavy, doesn't it? And said, go to the other side of the world and tell them about my love. And the reason he appeared to me in that vision is because I had just prayed a prayer. And my prayer was for lost people. At 8 years old, I had this aha moment. Have you ever had an aha moment? I said, aha, there are people in my school that have never heard the gospel. Aha, there are people on the other side of the world that have never heard the gospel. And that just bothered me. How many of it should bother you that there are lost people? And so I prayed a prayer that changed my life forever. I said, Jesus, send somebody over there to tell them about your love. And in that moment in time, Jesus actually walked through a wall, and he walked up to me, put his hand on my chest, and said, go to the other side of the world and tell them about my love. How many know you should not pray a prayer you're not willing to be the answer to? Ooh, come on, somebody. And so when I got home, I had a globe, and I took that globe off the shelf, and I found Jackson, Mississippi, where I'm from, and I went to the other side of the world, and my finger landed on India. So when I was 8 years old, I concluded, well, that must be where Jesus wants me to go. It was simple. It wasn't complicated. And so I've been going there ever since I was 19 years old. I've been going back and forth to India. Somebody asked me how many times I've been. I literally have lost count. I don't know. We lived there for about 6 years. We have right now about 300 churches, actually about 292 churches in our church planting network. We've probably planted almost 1,000 churches, but they didn't all make it. But some of them lived for a while and won people to Jesus and did some good things. And so we now have 12 children's homes. We take care of 120 children that we've rescued from human trafficking and poverty and stuff like that. And your church is a big part of that. James Robinson led your pastor's dad to Jesus, who led me to Jesus, and I've helped lead about 1 million people to Jesus since then. So who knows what all heavenly reward is waiting for Word of Life Church one day. How cool is that? And so you guys help us do a lot of what we do in India, for which I am grateful. But more importantly, Jesus is grateful. So, I think I could be the only person in the room who has worshiped at every single Word of Life location in the history of Word of Life. I could be the only guy in the room who's done that. Okay, there's one place. I was there too. Yep, I've worshipped at every place that Word of Life has ever been. It started off at Scott Dorman's house. I was there. You're like, who? And then we went to Highway 80. And then we went to Clinton Boulevard. Anybody at Clinton Boulevard? You were when you were a little guy, right? And then we went from Clinton Boulevard to the movie theater in Jackson Square. Any Jackson Square people? No? Oh, my gosh. I am old. And then we went from Jackson Square to Highway 18. Any Highway 18 people? There we go. And then we went from Highway 18 to, you know, the rest of the story. So that is awesome. So I am a Word of Lifer just like you. This is my home church. And I love you, and I love your pastor, and I love that I am from here. So I'm one of y'all. I am. I grew up having milkshakes at Brent's across the street there. So, yeah. Man, that sounds good right now, doesn't it? Let's close in prayer. I'm telling you. In Acts 28, the last chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, he's preaching the gospel, which is his thing, and he's talking to this group of Jewish people, and they just are having this dispute amongst themselves whether or not they are going to receive the gospel, as opposed to living according to the law that Moses gave. And so they decide, a lot of them decide, we're going to stick with the law. And so Paul, in his holy frustration, if that's a thing, he said, all right, I am going to take the gospel, this gospel of salvation, to the nations, to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Now, if you aren't clear, if you were not born of Jewish descent, you, like me, are a Gentile. Ethnically speaking, we are Gentiles. Non-Jewish people are Gentiles. So there's Jews, then Gentiles, and then the church. That's who's in the world today. And so Paul said, I'm going to take the salvation of God to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Now, the first time I saw that, Robert Barry, I got so excited sneaking in the back of the church. We see you back there. I got so excited when I saw this verse. I literally danced in the Holy Ghost, because this is one of the promises of God, that if you will share the gospel with somebody, Paul said by the Holy Spirit that they will hear it. Now, I'm sent to the nation of India, and I have a promise that if I will just share the gospel with them, they will hear it. It's in the Bible. Now, the real question isn't if they will hear it or not. So we have to take that off, that piece off the table. The real question isn't will they hear it. The real question is tonight, will you tell it? Because if you will, some really dynamic and powerful things will happen. And that's what I want to get you fired up about tonight. In fact, I looked it up in the Passion Translation, and it says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, actually verse 15, Paul said, I'm delighted to preach this gospel. He said, I'm delighted. How many know men's men don't use the word delighted unless they're really excited? You know what I mean? But I could just see Paul say, I'm delighted. I can't wait to preach the gospel to you. He got so excited. Why? Because then he said in verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because I figured something out. It is the power of God unto salvation for them that believe. Has anybody been saved tonight? Are you? We don't have any believers in the room tonight. I mean, you were lost, but now you're found. Those are the people I'm looking for right now. Anybody? I mean, if I had a Hammond B3 organ up here, I'm talking about Jesus. He saved me. Hey, I'm talking about you were going to hell, but now heaven is your home. Anybody in the room tonight? Paul said, I get to preach that gospel to people that does that to people. So I don't know how jacked up you were, but God's like, I got a plan for you. I can use you. I can use a guy like you. You see who I'm pointing at? God said, I can use a guy like that right there. I want. It's like Uncle Sam G said, I want you. And if you'll just give yourself wholly to the Lord, he will shock you. The things that he will do for you and through you will amaze everybody who knows you. And they'll think, are you, you must be God's favorite. Everybody say, I am. So Paul, he was so excited to get to preach this gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel, the good news to who? Every creature. How many know some creatures out there? But they need to hear the good news. I was on an airplane one time. I've been on an airplane a bunch of times, but I was on an airplane one time and I was reading my Bible and this guy was sitting next to me and I don't know if he was nervous or what, but he had been drinking too much. And I don't even remember what I was reading this passage. That's why I remembered this right now. I was reading this passage and this guy, we hit some turbulence or something and he spilled his oh, thank you, Lord. We'll receive it. There's sprinklings of heaven coming down. Did y'all see that? Did y'all see that? It's not just me. Okay, woo. I was like, oh, man, I'm having a vision up here. And so this guy, he spilled some of his drink on himself, and he says, you know, I'll be damned. And I said, yes, sir, you will. If you don't accept Jesus, you'll be damned. And he looked at me. He said, what did you say to me? I said, I was just reading it right here. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will say, those who don't believe will be damned. You just said, I'll be damned. And you will. If you don't accept Jesus, you will be damned. He said, what is that book you're reading? I said, this is the Bible, sir, and it's true. He said, I'll be damned. Well, yeah, I'm trying to tell you. Yes, you will. If you don't accept Jesus, you'll... And he said, well, how do I accept Jesus? I said, well, I'm going to share the gospel with you right now. Jesus died for your sins. They buried him on the third day. God raised him from the dead. He goes, I remember that part. And I said, and if you will call on his name, the Bible says you will be saved, not damned, but saved. You want to call on his name right now? He said, on an airplane? I said, you're as close to God as you're ever going to be right now in this airplane. He said, sure. So I led the guy to Jesus sitting on the airplane. I'd like to tell you that when we said amen, he was sober, but he wasn't, which really made for an interesting conversation for the rest of the flight. I was talking to a drunk born-again guy. He didn't drink anymore. He sobered up as we got there. But having the gospel is so powerful, it can come into an airplane and get a drunk guy from going from hell to heaven just like that. All he had to do is believe. Because how many know if you take one, you know, if you take one step towards God, he'll take two steps for you towards you. I don't believe that. I think if you just lean in God's direction, he'll take 1,000 steps towards you. Because he's just that good. Listen to this. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who desires how many? All men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Did you mean that some people were not created to be eternally separated from God? That is right. God desires all people to be saved. Look at this, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Aren't you glad God's not a slacker? But he's long-suffering toward us. Whoo, I'm thankful for that one. Not willing. How many want to know God's will? If you want to know what his will is, it's good to know what his will is not. And right here he says his will is not that any should perish, but that how many? All should come to repentance. Oh my goodness. So you can know right off the bat, every single person you ever have a conversation with, you can already know it's God's will for this person to be saved. You can know that. You can settle it. Now, what do you need to do? What's your part? Your part is just to tell that person what God has done for you. That's it. After church today, Pastor Joel and I went to this restaurant and we both ordered, because great minds think alike, we both ordered a ham and bacon omelet. So in that it was bacon and cheese, bacon and cheddar omelet. And in that omelet, there were several eggs that were contributed by the chicken. And then there was some bacon that was a sacrificial offering by the pig. Now, God's not asking you to make a sacrificial offering. He's already done that. Jesus did that. He's just asking you to make a small contribution, like the chicken. So what's your small contribution? To open your mouth and tell people what God has done for you. That sounds so simple, but when you do this, Paul said it's the power of God unto salvation for them that believe. We looked up that word power before we came out here. It means miracle working power. Wow. Let's say it backwards. Wow. That's amazing. Now, we know it's God's will for everybody to be saved. Now, let me tell you what to share with people, and then we're going to tell a couple of stories, and then we'll see what else the Lord wants to do. But I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I love this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and chapter 15 could be one of the most important chapters in the entire New Testament, in my opinion. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 6. This is the gospel in a nutshell. That's why I'm wanting to share this with you. The gospel in a nutshell. Somebody said, well, what is an acorn? Well, in a nutshell, it's a tree. So this is the gospel in the nutshell. You ready? 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 says, I delivered to you first of all. In other words, Paul said, I gave you the most important thing, the most urgent and important thing, which is the gospel, by the way, that which I also received. Here we go. This has a few ingredients. I'm going to count them off. Number one, that Christ died for our sins. Number two, they buried him. Number three, he rose again the third day. Number four, he did all this according to the scriptures. And then number five, he was seen by witnesses. First Peter, then the 12, and then he was seen by 500 brethren all at one time. He appeared to 500. Somebody said, well, everybody was having a hallucination. Well, how do you know if 500 people have the same exact hallucination at the same exact time, I don't think they make bong pipes that big. You know what I'm saying? So this was a divine encounter with the resurrected Christ Jesus. So he was seen by witnesses. Now, the reason that's important is because when you share the gospel, you become ingredient number five. You're one of those witnesses. And the gospel won't work without those five ingredients. So this, I'm going to show you how powerful this gospel is. Years ago, I was traveling somewhere to preach, and I had to stop at the car rental counter and rent a car. And as I'm stepping up to the car rental counter, I notice this nice-looking dude behind the counter, you know, and he has a jacket on, and he had his name tag on. And next to his name tag, he had on a pin, and one side of the pin was the American flag. The other side of the pin was the Mexican flag, so he was obviously Mexican-American, and then he had a big cross going through, so I thought, this dude's a brother in Christ. He's got the cross, and I thought, that's so cool. I said, hey, man, how you doing? I was excited to see my brother, and he said, you know, he was nice. He said, I'm doing fine. I said, are you a Christ follower? I was expecting, yeah. He said, no. I said, you're not? He said, I don't think so. I'm like, dude, you got a cross right here. He goes, I'm just not sure, you know, about it all. I'm like, I happen to be a trained professional. He said, you are? I said, I am. He said, well, I have a couple of questions. I said, hit me, man. He said, and he asked me something really theological, and I don't know, it was like, what happened to the dinosaurs? I don't remember what his question was. But I remember saying, all right, let me ask you a question. If Jesus appeared right here, right now, and he said, hey, Fernando, any one prayer that you pray right now, I'm going to answer it. I said, what would you pray? Go. Don't think about it. Just tell me. He says, I guess I would ask him to forgive me for all the bad things I've done. I said, that's perfect. I said, can I shake your hand? He said, yeah. And I didn't let go. And I said, he's here to answer that prayer right now. Let's pray. So he bowed his head and he said, God, would you please forgive me of all the bad things I've done? I said, that's a great prayer. I need to tell you something, Fernando, that Jesus died for your sins. So he's going to forgive you of all those bad things you've done. And they buried him. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead according to the scriptures. Do you believe that? He said, I do. I said, will you just say this? Will you say, Jesus saved me? He said, Jesus saved me. And he went,
I said, what happened? He goes, I don't know, but I like it.
And so right there at the car rental counter, Fernando got born again, just like that. How many know the devil's going to remember the Alamo? It wasn't the Alamo counter, I'm kidding. But we put a Hertz on the devil. I don't remember what car counter it was, but that's funny anyway. All right, years ago, I used to live in Calcutta. I know some of you are like, wait a minute, did he just... Years ago, I was in Calcutta, and there was this little restaurant I used to like to go eat at when I lived there. So I was just visiting Calcutta, so I said, I'm going to go to the Blue Sky Cafe. I think I've taken you there before. And in the Blue Sky Cafe, I walk in, and there's this little Indian guy whose name is Samson. That's actually his name. And as soon as he saw me, he got excited. He says, Mr. Kevin, oh my God, it's been so long. How are you doing? Oh, please come and sit here in your favorite seat. And so I did. And how many of you have any Indian friends? They don't know about personal space. And so Samson sat down right beside me, and he was right here. And he was just smiling from ear to ear. And he says, Mr. Kevin, where have you been? It's been so long. I said, well, I moved out of Calcutta. And then all of a sudden I got convicted because I've known this guy for all these years and I've never shared the gospel with him. And the Holy Spirit's like, hello, McFly. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it right now. And so I said, hey, Samson, we've known each other a long time. And he says, yes, November 1997. That's the first time you walked in my restaurant. I'm like, wow. It's amazing. I said, well, anyway, all these years we've known each other, there's something I've never told you. Is it okay if I tell you? He said, Mr. Kevin, of course, you're my friend. Tell me. I said, well, this is what I need to tell you. In the Quran, in your holy book, it says that Jesus is coming again. He said, yes, I just read that. I said, the Bible says he's coming again. It does. I said, but do you know why Jesus is coming again? He goes, the Quran does not say. I said, that's what I want to tell you, why Jesus is coming again. He said, this is wonderful. I was just at the mosque, and I was speaking to my cleric, and I said, here, cleric, in the Quran, it says Jesus is coming again. Why is Jesus coming again? And even the cleric, he doesn't know. I said, I know. I want to tell you why. Jesus is coming again. He said, that would be wonderful. Please tell me, because they believe Jesus is a prophet. But what they don't believe is that Jesus actually died. They've been taught since they were children, Jesus didn't die. That a couple of theories. One theory is Jesus was on the cross. I mean, he had a really bad day, so he fainted. And they thought he was dead. So when they took him down, Jesus, he's like snuck away before they could, sneaky Jesus theory. So that's one thing they believe. Another theory is, and they actually believe this stuff, they believe that when Judas came to betray Jesus with the kiss, that when Judas kissed Jesus, Allah caused Jesus' face to come onto Judas and Judas' face to come onto Jesus. So when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, they really arrested Judas, who looked like Jesus. And they took Judas away and they crucified him. And again, Jesus, who looked like Judas now, sneaky Jesus. So they don't believe Jesus died. Okay, you tracking with me? All right. So I said, now, Samson, this is what I need to tell you, why Jesus is coming again. And guess what I told him? The gospel. Five ingredients. Number one, I said, Samson, Jesus died for your sins. To which he said, no. I mean, this seems like a hostile audience. But here's what I want you to know. It doesn't matter what he says, how he reacts. I don't have to convince him. I don't have to persuade him. I don't have to show him archaeological evidence of what happened to the dinosaurs. I don't have to do any of that. I don't have to prove the veracity of Scripture. None of that. All I have to do is share the gospel. You know why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. So when you share the gospel, you don't even have to feel anything, but let me tell you what happens, whether you feel it or not. Bam! Power is released, and it hits people in the heart. So I said, Samson, Jesus died for your sins. He said, no. I said, Samson, they buried him. He said, no. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. He said, no. Just real sharp, no. And he did all this according to the scriptures. Now, do you know why he's coming again? He said, that's the part I want to know. I said, he's coming again to judge everyone who does not believe what I just told you. And he went, oh my God. His eyes got real big. Oh my God. What's happening to Samson? His head is going, I've been taught my whole life. None of that's true. But there's something else happening down here in my heart. My head's saying no. My heart's saying, oh my God. He said, oh my God. He looked kind of confused. He said, well, what should I do? Does that sound like the book of Acts? What must we do to be saved? He said, what should I do? I said, Samson, I put my arm around him. You should believe what I just told you. It's not complicated. That power is working on him. And he said, oh, this breaks my heart. He said, I don't know how. I said, pray this with me. Jesus, you died for my sins. He said, he thought for a second. He said, Jesus, you died for my sins. They buried you. But on the third day, God raised you from the dead. Jesus saved me. I said, how do you feel? He goes, I feel very nice. What happened? Samson, the Muslim, met Jesus, heard the gospel, and got born again in the Blue Sky Cafe in Calcutta, India. Bam! The power of God hit him. What happened? A miracle. I won't tell you all the rest of the story, but I went and got him a Bible. He read the entire Bible in a week. This guy's voraciously hungry and wanted to be discipled, but he didn't know that's what he wanted. I mean, the gospel is a powerful thing. We're like, you know, when are we going to start seeing miracles? And I want to see people get out of wheelchairs. And I do too. But just share the gospel if you want to see some power. I'm telling you, it will change people's destiny. It changed mine. I was, you know, our friend Ed Trim, he did this party thing a couple nights ago, you know, the cruise in McDowell Road. Anyway, I went to that, and there was these two girls I went to high school with, you know, and we're all, you know, I'm very young for my age. And no, wait, that's not what my wife says. She goes, I'm very immature for my age. Anyway, same thing. But there are these two women, you know, they're in their 50s like me, and this one lady, she goes, yeah, Kevin Cooley, he's a pastor. And this girl, she goes, no way. I'm like, I know, right? Nobody's more surprised than me, let me tell you. Because if you'd have known me when I wasn't living for God, you would say, no way. But how many know Jesus can change your life? From the inside out, because the gospel is a powerful thing. Listen to this. They're going to put it on the screen, I hope. This is Ezekiel 3:17. Let me show you how important this is, and then I'm going to tell you a story and wrap up. Ezekiel 3:17-18. Do y'all have that? Because I don't have it in my notes. If not, I will quote it to you. Ezekiel 3, verse, I think it's verse 18. It says, there it is. Son of man, I've appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. Go to the next verse. And it says, if you don't warn them, if when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked man in his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood I'll require at your hand. That's pretty heavy. So how do you get the blood off your hands? You warn them. You tell them. Say, Pastor Kevin, that's not my thing, man. That you're like an evangelist, and this is... No. This, if you're a Christ follower, this is your thing. This is your thing. Now, you might not do it like I do it, but it's your thing. And God will show you your way. I was in Ethiopia one time, and in 4 days, I led 95,000 people to Jesus. So they say, I told you it was your thing. No. I started off leading one person at a time. But anyway, I was walking into the bathroom, and this Ethiopian man was walking out, and we literally bumped into each other. And he stopped, and he goes, hey, I know you. Now, I've never been in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia in my life. He did not know me, but I played along. I said, hey, man, how are you? He goes, oh, my God, I'm wonderful. He goes, how do I know you? I said, it could be my brother that you know. He goes, who's your brother? I said, his name is Jesus. And he looked confused. He goes, I don't think I know him. I said, let me introduce you to him. And guess what I told him? Jesus died for your sins. You seeing a pattern here? They buried him. On the third day, God raised him from the dead according to the scriptures. He heard the gospel. I said, do you believe that? He goes, yeah. Would you like to have my brother save your life? He said, what do you mean save my life? Well, without my brother, you're going to hell. He said, yeah, I would like that. I said, pray this, Jesus, save me. He said, that's it? I said, well, you can't say it to me. You got to say it to Jesus. He said, Jesus, save me. And he got born again. And I said, it's nice running into you. They still have Crystal hamburgers? Oh, man, those things should be illegal. I call them gut grenades, man. They will blow you up. Boom. One day I was going into Crystal Hamburgers, and my dad likes Crystal Hamburgers. I said, okay, Dad, I'll get some hamburgers. You know, this guy's coming out with an armload of Crystal Hamburgers. And so I opened the door for him. I was being, how many, we should be polite. So I opened the door, and I just said, hungry? He goes, well, these aren't all for me. I said, I'm just kidding you, man. And he said, thanks for opening the door for me. I said, hey, quick question. You think they'll have those Crystal Hamburgers in heaven? He goes, I don't know. You going to be there to find out? He said, probably not, man, probably not. Putting a rock in his shoe. Gave him something to think about. There was a world-famous violinist named Fritz Kiesler. He lived from 1875 to 1962. And he earned a fortune playing concerts and writing beautiful music. And he was a generous man, so he gave all of his fortune away. And one day, he came across this collectible, beautiful violin, and he wanted it so desperately, but he had no money. So he went to play some concerts to raise some money to go back and buy this beautiful violin. Of course, when he came back, a collector had already been there before him the day before and purchased it out from under him. He was so distraught, and he begged the shop owner to tell him who the buyer was. So he went to the buyer's home, knocked on his door, and the man opened the door. He goes, hi, I'm sorry to disturb you at your home. My name is, he goes, oh, I know who you are, Mr. Kiesler. You're the greatest violinist in the world. He said, well, thank you. I came because I heard you bought my violin, and I would like to purchase it for you full price. Whatever you pay for it, I'll pay you for it, plus 10%. And he says, well, sir, it's actually, I have a lot of these instruments, but this is my favorite. It's my prized possession. I could never part with it. And he begged and he pleaded, and he goes, I'm sorry, I'm not going to sell it to you for any amount of money. So he dropped his head, and he was about to walk away, and he had this idea. He said, well, hey, before I go and before you lock this beautiful instrument up and consign it to eternal silence, could I play it just one more time? He said, of course. He invited him into his home. He took it out of the case. Mr. Kiesler sat down and began to play. As he struck the strings, he played this beautiful, haunting piece of music for several moments. It filled the whole house. When he was finished, he looked up. The man had tears coming down his cheeks. And he said, thank you for letting me play your violin. And he offered it back, to which the collector, he said, far be it from me to keep that from the world. He said, please receive it as a gift, as long as you will play it for others to hear. Now, what I wanted to remind you of tonight, in this very simple, very uncomplicated message, is that you are a beautiful instrument, and the world needs to hear your gospel message. The world needs to hear what Jesus has done for you, how he's changed and saved your life. I am believing God for a billion souls. And together, we can do this. It's going to take us all. What do you get somebody who owns the world? You get them what they want. You get them what they don't have. Jesus, this is his planet, but he wants the people that are on it because he paid a high price. He paid a high price. One last thought. I've shared this story before. Pastor Joel's heard it, and I won't give you the full version of it for time's sake, but there was a time when I was a Rhema student that I had been to India, and the Lord was dealing with me about going back. And I didn't mind going back, but the Lord was dealing with me about staying there. And I thought, I don't want to live in India. I mean, if I'm being honest, y'all think I'm this compassionate guy, but I don't want to live in India. I said, Lord, I'll go, I'll preach, we'll lead a bunch of people to Jesus, then I'm going to come home to the air condition. And so I came up with this great plan, and I pitched it to the Lord. I said, here's what we'll do. I'll go to India for a month or two, I'll preach the gospel, I'll come home for 7 or 8 months, I'll raise money, and I'll go back, I'll stay for a couple of months, and we'll just do that in your name, amen. Have you ever tried to sell God your plan? So I thought it was a great plan. So I went to sleep that night, and the Lord visited me in a dream. And in that dream, all of a sudden, I'm standing in this sea of people dressed in white, and I knew we were standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And my first thought was, I made it. I made it. And then my second thought was, oh no, I don't think I'm ready for this. So there was rows and rows and rows of people in front of me, and I could see Jesus on a throne. And this throne had to be 150 feet up in the air. And standing beside him were, on each side, were these two angels. And they were 150 feet tall, and they had big mouths. And they were Jesus's PA system. I'm glad there was two. God likes stereo. And they would call out people's names. And people would be translated and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And give an account for their life. And I kept thinking, oh, I don't think I'm ready for this. I don't think I'm ready for this. You ever gone to school and the teacher said, all right, get your pen and pencil, time for the test. And you're like, that was today? You're not ready. I didn't feel ready. And then one of those angels, he said, missionary, Kevin Cooley, please step forward and give an account for your life. And I remember standing there thinking, there's somebody else up here named Kevin Cooley, and they were a missionary. The guy next to me goes, hey, aren't you Kevin Cooley? I say, yeah, but I wasn't a missionary. The angel again, missionary, Kevin Cooley, please step forward and give an account for your life. And people started turning around looking at me, like millions of people turning around and just staring at me. And I felt so uncomfortable. I thought, I'm not ready for this. And then that angel, he leaned down and his face was right in front of me, this big old head. And he never turned the volume down. And he shouted, missionary Kevin Cooley, step forward and give an account for the blood of millions on your hands. Because you did not fulfill your call. I woke up in my little apartment. I was just drenched in sweat. I had tears coming down my face like I do right now. And I rolled out of that bed and got on my knees. And I said, Jesus, I'll go. I'll go. And I'll stay. I'll live anywhere you want me to live. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll say anything you want me to say.
I'll stay anywhere you want me to stay, Lord, because my life is not my own. It belongs to you. And he said, that's right. Tonight I want to remind you, your life is not your own. It's not yours. He paid for you. He bought you. He purchased you with a price. And the greatest joy of my life is living for him, is serving him. I'm telling you, I love him so much. And if you will step out of your boat and just start sharing the gospel with people, I'm telling you, a year from now, you'll say, Kevin, I've never had so much fun in my entire life. I can't believe how much I love my life. This is amazing. And not only will you see people's lives changed, your life will finally be the life that you wished it was. This is the holdup for some of you. This is the thing. This is the hitch in your giddy up. And it's a simple adjustment. It's a simple adjustment. And at first, you're going to be so nervous, but it's like going to the gym. The hardest time to go to the gym is that first time. But once you start going, it's just what you do, because that's what healthy people do. It's who you are. And once you share it with one person, it's just what you do, because that's what witnesses do. We witness. Dogs bark, sinners cuss, and Christians witness. Would you look at your hands right now? Lord, open their eyes and let them see. Let them see the blood. The blood that they've got to get off their hands. And we're not doing this out of guilt. It's sheer joy. It's sheer joy. But Jeremiah 8:20 says that the harvest is past and we are not saved. There's coming a day when it'll be too late for anyone to be born again. Until then, we have work to do. So would you just pray this prayer with me tonight? Would you just bow your heads with me? Let's pray. If you say, Pastor Kevin, I really feel like what you shared tonight hit home with me, and I need to make some adjustments. Would you just wave your hand at me real quick? Just let me see who we are. Lots of people. Would you just put those hands in front of you, and would you pray this prayer with me tonight, everybody? Just say it. Dear Father, anywhere you want me to go, I'll go. Anything you want me to say, I'll say. Anything you want me to do, I'll do. My life is not my own. It belongs to you. Here I am. Send me. Now, Lord, I prayed a little prayer once that changed my life forever. You heard their prayer. Lord, would you change their lives forever tonight? I mean, never the same again. Catch them up in this awesome adventure that we're in. Show them great and mighty things that they know not. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I see a clock up here. How much do I need to pay attention to it? Okay. So, I'm just going to step out and do a couple of things in the spirit just for a moment. And here's the cool thing about when your life is not your own. You just can't embarrass yourself because you're not your own. You work for somebody else, right? I was at a Mexican restaurant recently, and the guy seats us,
And I'm sharing these stories. I'm not trying to make myself look good. I'm trying to encourage you. Like, yeah, that guy can do this stuff. And so as we sat down, I told my wife, I said, I think the Lord's given me a word for our waiter. And she said, oh, Kevin, we come here all the time. Please don't mess this up. Please don't miss it. Don't you love that vote of confidence? I have had open visions of Jesus. And she's like, please don't miss it. Come on. You sure you have a word for the waiter? And honestly, I wasn't sure. If you're 51% sure, that's enough. That's all you need. So I was 51% sure. So the guy came back to the table, and I said, and he didn't have a name badge on or anything. And I said, hey, can I ask you a quick question? He said, sure. I said, who is Armand? He said, Armand? I said, Armando. Who's Armando? He says, why are you asking about Armando? I said, well, when I sat down, the Lord put that name, Armando, in my spirit. And I think the Lord wants me to tell Armando something. He says, who's the Lord? I said, you know, Jesus, God. He goes, God wants to talk to Armando? I said, I think so. What does God want to say to Armando? I said, well, that's between me and Armando. He says, I am Armando. And he sat down in the booth next to me. And he said, I was just saying, God, if you are real, please talk to Armando. I said, Armando, he hurt you. And he gave me your name. And he's crying. He goes, what does God want to say to Armando? And guess what I told him? Jesus died for your sins. Are you surprised? They buried him. On the third day, God raised him from the dead according to the scriptures. Armando, do you believe that?
Yes, yes.
The power of God hit Armando. So simple, so simple, so simple. So, this brother behind Pastor Joel, what's your name? It's not Armando, is it? I'm kidding. What's your name?
Aubrey.
Aubrey, what do you need? Is there something that you need from the Lord?
Hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Sure. Yep. Yeah. Well, the Holy Spirit is going to show you those things and teach you those things because he's the counselor. And just because you opened up your heart and asked that question, you don't get answers without asking questions. You have not because you ask not because you ask. The Lord's going to show it to you and reveal it to you. And there's a bonus for you. The Lord told me to ask you whatever that thing is that you need. Like you have a need in your life. I don't know if it's a financial need, a physical need related to your health, or a family need, a relational. So there's something else going on that you need. And I'm not trying to put something on you that's not there, but does that ring true with you? Oh, yeah. Now, you may or may not be able to share what that is. It might be too personal, and that's fine. But the Lord said that he is taking care of that for you. He's taking care. Does that bring any help or relief? If the Lord took care of that, would that be helpful? Yes. The Lord told me to tell you that. The Lord said, tell him I'm taking care of that. I'm taking care of that. So I don't know what that is, and that's none of my business, but it sounds like the Lord's taking care of it. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Amen. Tell me your name again.
Aubrey.
Amen. Lord, thank you for blessing Aubrey tonight, filling him with your spirit, giving him power to be a witness. And thank you for taking care of that thing that's been on his heart, on his mind, that only you could take care of. And you're dealing with that. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Is there any sort of physical thing going on in your life, in your body? Good. All right. Good. Sure. You don't have to pick one. but the big one. And how many, if he takes care of the big one, all the other ones, that's small potatoes, you know. He's got you. He's got you. Amen. Amen. All right, my guy in the back, in the white t-shirt, would you stand up? Not in the very, very back. Yeah, yeah, you're the one, dude. I don't know who you are, but the hand of the Lord is on your life. And I sense in my spirit that there is a call on your life, that the Lord has called you out from who you were, and he's brought you in to even this place because he wants to prepare you with a grace that's on your life to do what he's called you to do. And I just see, I see you being a light. I see you being a witness to a certain group of people, that it's almost like the Lord says he's going to make you irresistible to them. Like, and people go, oh, they'll never listen. They'll never receive it, but they will from you. They will from you, because that's the grace he's putting on your life. So that's cool. So, what's your name? What? Nigel? Cool, man. Awesome. It's nice to meet you, Nigel. Does that mean anything to you? Amen, Nigel. And guess what else? There's a healing anointing on your life. There's healing in your hands. And when you pray for the sick, they'll recover. Of course, all believers have that promise, but there's an accelerating of that in your life. The Lord wants to do something significant and special, because he's trying to make a point not only to them, but also to you. Because I don't know what you've thought. Well, not these hands. Yeah, those hands. Those hands. If you'll give him those hands, he's going to do some really cool stuff. And don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by them or by the sickness that you're praying for. It's the same power. The same power. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and be healed? It's the same power. Same power. And that power is working in you and is going to work through you. In you and through you and on you. To you, through you, in you, on you. That's a lot of prepositions. Amen. I bless you in the name of Jesus, sir. Do you know him? Cool. He's going to be around doing some cool stuff. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of knowledge, right? That's fun stuff. And the word of wisdom, too. Amen. I just have one more thing in my heart, like as far as word of knowledge goes, and then maybe we'll sing a little bit. Y'all know any bluegrass? Just kidding. Not really. I'm just kidding. There's a money man in here. Who's the money man? Somebody who you feel like your calling is to make money and finance the gospel. Like it almost doesn't bug you, but you're obsessive about it. It's a big deal to you. And if you're like, oh, that's kind of, I think I can. No, that's not you. I'm talking about the dude who's like, no, that's who I am. That's what I do. Who's the money man? I have a word for the money man. Lord, can I be the money man? Mm-hmm. All right. It's okay. Either I'm missing it, or you're shy, or you don't know you're the money man yet. That's okay, too. Well, Lord, whoever the money man is, I just wanted to share a verse that ministered to me recently, and it's Isaiah 22:22. The key of David upon your shoulder, and the Lord says, I will open doors that no man can shut and close doors that no man can open. Amen. 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 Awesome. How about the muscle man? Who are you? Hey, Stan. Stan the muscle man. Cool. How are you, sir? Amen. Are you from this area? Did you grow up here? You did? Where did you go to high school? Flora? All right. Cool. Stan. Lord bless my friend Stan, my new friend Stan. Wow. Lots of cool stuff. I just see your heart, and I see it's pure and it's clean. It's golden. You have a golden heart. You have a heart of gold. You have a heart of gold. In spite of things that have happened in the past, you still have a heart of gold. And the Lord honors that. The Lord honors that. And any residual effect from any negative residual effect from the past is completely and totally removed and obliterated. And the Lord says, not only that, but through you and through your words and through your kindness, the Lord says, I'm going to do that for other people too. I'm going to remove from their life the stain of the past that has tried to keep them in shame, because Jesus bore their shame. He bore their shame. And you're a shame remover. You're a shame remover, Stan. A shame remover. So, you know, remember when we were kids, people go, shame, shame, shame. Everybody knows your name. Shame on you. And the Lord says, no, shame on Jesus. Jesus bore our shame, and you are a shame remover because you are my righteousness. And you're going to minister that to other people. You're going to minister that to other people. And when you do, and when that shame comes off of them, you're going to see sickness and disease come off of them, because that sickness and disease was the root or caused by the shame. Man, you got some cool stuff ahead of you. Amen. 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 This is fun, huh? We could just do this all night. Thank you, Lord.